This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl.
It's been quite a week, I'd say. A presidential election, the aforementioned cliff, uneasy markets, the whole smash. So here to put it all in context for us, we've got Catherine Rampell from the New York Times, Felix Salmon from Reuters. Hey, guys.
Hi, Kai.
Hey, Kai.
So, Catherine, what do you think? Is this a cliff, a slope, a berm, a small hillock? What do we got?
It's a mess, whatever it is, I guess.
Top out. Come on.
Well, I mean, I don't know what the right branding is. I think that the main thing is we want it to be over. Whatever we call it now, we want it to just pass.
Felix, is this something that come the 1st of January is going to hit us between the eyeballs, or is it going to be a slow fade, as it were?
On the 1st of January, the tax rates go up, but you don't pay your taxes until the end of the year. So if they manage to fix it at any point over the year, I think we'll be okay. There's nothing tax-mageddon-ish. That was the old
Well,
word.
You'll see the payroll taxes go up.
Yeah.
And so
that happens immediately.
Your paycheck will be that, you know, many dollars smaller. But we've had a bunch of payroll tax cuts, deliberately temporary payroll tax cuts for a while. So that's likely to happen anyway, whether we manage to solve the fiscal cliff problem or not.
You know what's funny? You guys are actually just listening to you. You're remarkably blasé about this whole thing. Do you not believe, Catherine, that it's actually going to happen? Do you think they're going to fix it?
Well, both parties have said that they don't want it to happen. That doesn't mean that they'll actually cooperate and act like adults and prevent it from happening, but at least there is interest on both sides in making sure that the entirety of the fiscal cliff, meaning, you know, the $500 billion of tax increases and then all of the additional spending cuts, does not all happen in one big whammy. So I think it's unlikely. Well, at least I don't know. I mean, I'm in New York. Who knows what's happening in Washington? They're crazy in Washington.
Well, that's what we should have had to do.
But what we hear is that neither side actually wants it to happen, and hopefully they'll get it together and actually prevent at least the whole thing from hitting us in the face.
Felix, what do you think?
At the same time, remember there's that third bit of the fiscal cliff, which everyone likes to forget about because it's too scary,
which is
the debt ceiling. That was so nasty last year, and it's going to be happening, mid-January?
Mid-January,
like
but wait a minute. Now, see, that's the thing. You're adding on to the fiscal cliff because for months and months and months, it was only the spending cuts and the tax increases, and now people are piling on debt ceiling as well. You're making it worse.
It's, you know, the Frankenstorm. We had the low pressure, we had the cold front, we had the full moon. It all came together at the same time. It's just like that.
The Mayans were right, I think, is the lesson here.
That's right. How much of this, though, one last thing on this, how much of this is going to depend on what the markets believe, what investors think is going to happen? Because there's such a psychological game of are they going to fix it, aren't they, Catherine?
No, this is the politicians.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, the markets are just going to react to the politicians. It's not one of those weird self-fulfilling, the markets will make it so things.
And I think for a long time, the markets have been assuming that, again, because both Republicans and the Democrats say that they don't want at least all of these things to happen at once, that they will not all happen at once. So to the extent that we can, you know, live in this collective fantasy that will hopefully be true, that Washington will actually act in the economy's best interest. Well, I think you'll see the markets still sort of
sanguine.
Assuming that that's true. Yeah.
Sanguine, yeah. Along those lines, though, Catherine, did you watch the president's statement today?
Yes.
Okay. I was struck, and I'd be curious as to your reaction, by how much he still seemed to be in campaign mode, right? He had the ordinary Americans behind him. He was using what was a four-minute version of his stump speech. Are you confident that this second-term president now will be able to get things done? And Felix, the question to you can think about it, is what about Congress in that regard? I mean, Catherine, what do you think?
You know, it's very hard to say. I think the assumption is that he has a lot of goodwill that he has accrued in the last few days. I mean, he did just get reelected. And you heard some more conciliatory words from John Boehner yesterday, I think it was, or the day before.
2 days ago, yeah.
2 days ago, yes. Thank you. Basically saying that he wants to work with the president and, you know, it is our job, you know, as legislators and policymakers to fix this thing and to make sure that we...
You sound so enthusiastic.
Well, I just mean that, I mean, the president has to be sort of seizing upon what goodwill there is and to the extent that the people who have been his his opponents right. and enemies in the last few months have been a little bit cowed. That may work to his advantage if he doesn't look too combative.
Felix, do you think Congress is going to come to the table? The Republicans are going to come to the table in earnest?
I have a little bit of hope that they will, because historically they always have. Yeah. We haven't had these massive fiscal negotiation games of chicken in the past. It was only in the first Obama term that the congressional Republicans started getting incredibly obstructionist and refused to do anything, and it didn't work out for them in the elections. And so maybe they're going to learn to grow up now.
Concentrates the mind.
One can but hope.
Felix Salmon from Reuters, Catherine Rampell from the New York Times. We got to go. See you guys.
Thanks,
guy.
Have a good weekend.